Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Joining us today is Bertil Jean Kronberg. He's the owner of Bond Fine Wine Shop, a concept in Cambridge's Harvard Square dedicated not only to eco-responsible wines, but also creating a bespoke experience for each guest and providing wine education to the community in a lighthearted and intimate environment. The focus on sustainable, small production American wineries gives the consumer an opportunity to understand the wealth of quality, economically accessible wines grown and made here in the United States. Bertil, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here and would love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners more about you and what you do.
What I'm doing, I'm running a small business. I create an incubator and analyze every day how we're doing, what we need to change, what we need to modify, how to grow and to serve my communities every day.
Awesome. And so can you talk about more with Bond Fine Wine Shop?
Yeah, maybe I can start where that's come from.
Yeah, go for it.
We'll give more pictures, and I will try to be very direct and simple. So the concept was born during the pandemic. For sure, it's thought and learning for the last 40 years of my life. And I want real going to a second career. Before that, I own a restaurant and partner in restaurants, and you know, like the Beehive and restaurant like that. And the idea, it was to regrouping what I think a certain generation and older generation need to be concerned, and where you can find anything on a market like that. So the concept is very old. It's your bread and circus came Whole Foods before Mr. Bezos take the group to make the work and certified to the customer when they push the door of this bread and circus and later Whole Foods. The exercise and the work was made by the buyer to bring only local, organic, fair trade products on the shelf. So you was not worried how healthy or not was the produce. You know, the produce was organic with the less chemical it's possible on it. And so you was pushing the door to looking for what you want, for the price you want, for the quality you want, but as the organic value and the local value, it was there. So I take back what I realized that this type of store, you was buying your super organic tomatoes came from 40 miles or 20 miles from the store, from a small farmer, and you was turning to their wine and liquor department, and you can find the most horrible non-organic products, mass production on the shelves. And now you was trying to take care of your health by an expensive, healthy tomatoes and buying your wine, not expensive or expensive, was full of carrying chemicals and was not, for on another point, a good thing for the environment and follow their philosophy. So it was my first things. It was how I can offer to my customer only products are low impact on the environment. My second thought behind it is I believe this solution came from the consumer and never from the big company or the government. It's us consumer, if we show to the company and the government we want something very particular, they will make the effort to go in there. So, for us consumers, say, we won't be a part of this eco-anxiety, and to resolve it, to say what I can do to be a small part, but an active part, and find a solution for the planet, mean find a solution for the next generation to have food, water, and a healthy planet. It's starting with small action. The small action you can do, it's consume a wine, came from a winery. It's eco-responsible, where the winery and the winery and the winemaker believe less you impact the environment, less you impact the plants. By taking care of the plants the most naturally it's possible, more chance you will have to have a healthy product and a long-term solution. Because one, it's nothing, but if we are billion to do that, we change completely our impact on the environment. So it was my second thought. And to doing that, simply and logically, it was to focus and find who are the best eco-responsible American producer. Before we go take care of the problem of ecology in France, in Italy, or in Australia, we need to take care of our own problem today. And our problem is, you know what? Come and start to support our own people before you put them on competition with other countries when the carbon footprint will be enormous to bring this ecological produce here. And also, when you buy a wine from France, it's organic. The wine have been a multiplication by 200 to 300% before it arrive on your hand. So the dealer have deal with the winemaker in Europe to buy that for nothing. And you have four or five middlemen make a lot of money and put that on a shelf on a wine shop. At the end, your contribution to organic is nothing because everybody don't care about it and are just dealer, transporter, and reseller make their money on you. But not the winemaker. So the winemaker have no the money or the power to be better tomorrow. When we buy American and we buy the most closest as possible, the real value of the wine go back to the winemaker. And so we contribute to a direct impact on their decision and how better they can be. Because to produce organic, it's very expensive. So yeah. That's one part. Yeah. So that's one part of what I try to bring. Yes, educated American consumer to reproduce absolutely gorgeous wine in this country. We have absolutely incredible winemaker, and we produce on 48 states. On 50 states, only two don't produce, Alaska and Hawaii. Not all these states produce high-end wine, but more and more and more we see incredible wine came not just from Washington, Oregon, you know, but from Michigan, from North Carolina, from Vermont, from here in Massachusetts, with Westport River, from Maine, from all the New York states and all of that. And I can go on and on. New Mexico, and I can go on and on. So it's no reason to thinking we are different and we are good when we buy wine from other country. We need to first learn, know, and engage on what's on our country doing very well today, our American wine. So that's the part of the wine. So it was the idea how to create this part. On the other part, we have all the neo-artisan accessories. So all accessories are made by hand. So stopping to buy your corkscrew made in China at $5.99, you will put on the garbage after, you know, 3 months, but invest, and brutally, you know, destroy the cork, but invest on an artisan object to will be a tools, but you will keep for your life, and you will give to the next generation after So real, something, it's personal and precious. It's like to buy a good watch or buy your cheap watch will go on a garbage after a couple of years, or buy the watch you will give to your next generation after. So that's the same logic, and love artisan products. Just it's a person, it's a human behind it. Have been they made that by a hand with his soul. So all of that is related. And so we have other wine accessories, glassware, and all of that. And yes, in the middle of that, it's the tasting part. We're doing something different here, that we are a concierge service for the customer. So very simply, we listen, we help to understand what you dislike, to bring you what you will like, but you will never try because you are scared. You won't buy what you know, not what you don't know. But yeah, the thing is fabulous here that you can try this wine before you buy them. So the 100 label are available here to test before you buy. So when we narrow with you, we understand what you're looking for which occasion, we help you by trying the wine and let you try the wine to decide which one suits your heart. Because who I am to say you will love this wine or you need to buy this wine? I don't know your palates. I don't know where you are in your mood today. We all change constantly. So it's very important when you leave the shop, you are excited to have on your hand some things you know you will love. It's like go back to a restaurant where you know, like, oh, I love the food here. And you are so excited to have a reservation. That's the same idea. Wine, it's not a punishment. Wine, it's not made to be drunk. Wine, it's made to enjoy with food. And it needs to be a big part of a pleasure.
Absolutely.
So we're doing that. And we have all the wine tasting every Wednesday night. I try to demystify the wine and choose fun subject, just to always talking about aromatic, how to understand that, how to pair that, what is what. So like tomorrow we're doing how to pair fried chicken with wine.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, so we'll do four different type of fried chicken, and we'll put four different wine ways and try to understand why that's work and what you need to avoid. And the idea is to support the subject and going on. So we're doing one. I'm very excited with the one we have after. We're doing that just before Thanksgiving. It's what we're doing with the leftover Thanksgiving food. And so the idea is what I can drink, you know, for the week after with your turkey and your leftover, and find other solution and understand, depending what you will do with this turkey and leftover, what you can drink and have a great time with. And we're going on and on and on like that until the end of the year.
I love that. With the wine pairings, and specifically, how do you think of which foods you want to introduce? Like, I know the Thanksgiving one makes sense since that will be around the holiday. But for example, with fried chicken, was that something that your customers asked you about? Or do you kind of notice this trend happening? Maybe it's even seasonally. I'm so curious how you thought of that.
It's going on every direction. If we're looking at for the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we did junk food with wine. So I try to have fun subject, but you know, who don't like junk food? You don't like chips with a glass of wine? Absolutely. So it's fun things to do behind that, and we try to understand this pairing. I did Halloween night, how to pairing wine with candy. Or the real subject is what we're doing with the candy. The kids come back home after Halloween, they will never eat, and you will eat to watching TV. So which wine to drink with that? We did that. We did four poutines for wine. So I cooked four different poutines, the classic one, a seafood one, short rib one and a duck confit one, and we pair wine with and understand why it's work or not. So it's always to learn the subject of the food. It's just a way to learn more about wine and tasting wine and talking about it and develop the sense of pleasure.
Very cool.
So it's sometimes it's customers, sometimes it's events. Like in December, we're doing one for Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. So we take the subject of Hanukkah just to introduce people to what is kosher wine. Nobody knows exactly what is kosher wine. So it's a curious thing to understand and realize it's absolutely gorgeous kosher wine. And kosher wine don't mean cheap and undrinkable wine. So we're doing some subject like that's our fun. We're doing what to bring to a potluck. So, and the idea of that is not the potluck, is you, as all of us, will be invited to office party, friends party, a lot of things with the holiday. What you bring? Because at the end, what you bring, that's what you won't drink, because you don't trust what the other will have. So it's not the idea of a wine. A wine, that's something you share, like you share a potluck. So you won't bring something you want the other discovered with you. When you go to a potluck party, you don't eat what you cook. You try what the other do. So why not doing the same with the wine? So the how to organize that on your head to bring the crowd pleaser, fun, and it's related to what you like. So that's the idea to do that. So kind of many subjects like that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I especially love the idea of what to bring to a potluck. It kind of reminds me of similar in that vein, like housewarming parties. Typically, when people go to a housewarming party, they bring a bottle of wine that then typically becomes something that just kind of stays in someone's liquor cabinet or wine shelf or what have you, that they then end up regifting. So I love the idea of kind of educating people on what types of wines that people might enjoy together and just giving some different ideas.
Absolutely, that's the idea. And to bring eco-responsible wine to a party. American eco-responsible are gorgeous wine. And so you have a discussion and you educate indirectly people as it's a way to be a part of the solution.
Absolutely.
So that's yeah.
And so with the eco-responsible American wines that you have, what's your process for almost like vetting them or curating them so you know which ones that you'd like to offer to your customers?
So the main drive is we are all aware, because this is a logic of business and we talk with business people today. So we know the opportunism to use label to sell more. It's overused and an over reality of a lot of company and a lot of a distributor. It's winemaker, because it exists some certification, or you can say some stuff and nobody will go check behind it. So I can say I practice organic or I practice biodynamic, but it's the certification stop at the door of the winery. So all the certification, all the word of organic, biodynamic, sustainable, natural, regenerative, are all farming practice. So it's what's happened in the field. At the time you arrive at the door, it's no certification. So I can be super organic or buy my grapes from organic vineyard, and I will put on my label of the bottles grapes from an organic vineyard, and soon it crossed the border of my winery, and I starting to work with the grapes. I can use all the chemical I want, and so you fool, because you thinking you have buy an organic wine when you don't. At all. It's just the grapes was organic, not the process of wine. So for this reason, I'm going behind every winemaker. So a lot of winemakers, I'm the direct importer for them. So they are exclusively available at Bond or can be shipped all in Massachusetts. And when I have not the exclusivity on the products, I will take a lot of wine at the time or to visiting with the winery, or I know very well the winemaker and I know it's his philosophy. So it's not just a blah, blah. It's real. Something is inside his belief, inside on soul, and real practice, the eco responsibility. Because organic, biodynamic, all of that, it's a big word. The most important word on all of that, it's not eco-friendly, it's eco-responsible. To be responsible, to impact the less is possible, the ecosystem. So, gotcha. And it's very, and that's not for your health. Yeah, an organic and eco-responsible wine, it's good for your health because it's less chemicals and less problems in the wine, and the wine is more stable. But that's not made the action to the future very clear. To when you buy an eco-responsible, that means you make a little step for a better world for the next generation. So it's not Absolutely. Just for your health, it's for tomorrow. And that is very important.
Definitely. And with the wines that you offer, how often do you rotate them out? Like, do you start to kind of swap out some that you offer for new ones every few months? Or what does that process look like?
So the fun things here, that's I decide to not have more to 100 labels. To put that a very small wine shop. But the way I do that's very dynamic. That's I often change the wine, or because it's they are all author wine. They are all wine made by very small winemaker. So 1, 2, 3 barrel. When it's no more wine, it's no more wine. So if I can capture 3 or 4 cases, that's it what I can capture during the year. I just have the privilege to a winemaker accept to sell me 2 bottles of each of his wine for the year. So when I sold the 4 bottles, it's done. So it's rotated all the time. We was laughing because each wine here, I have a description card front of the wine. We was looking at the package on 28 months. I have over 350 cards of products I have no more. So that gives you the rotation. It's constant. It's constant. Yeah.
And that's really interesting and also beneficial to your customers because they know that probably every time they come in, there will be something new available for them to try.
Exactly. Exactly. And the idea that's not, you know, people laugh because I refuse to sell you one you buy already because I don't believe you need to change your mind as it's not what you like. It's real. And that I help you to do that, to understand what you dislike on aromatic. And if I'm capable to remove this molecule aromatic from your choice of wine, I open an entire new window of opportunities for you to discover the new wine, to have something will fit with what you are doing with on this day, if you cook or not cook, or friend. It's always an occasion for wine. So it's real create a relation between you and the occasion. Mm-hmm. And understand you will drink that by yourself or with your companion, or it's to bring to somebody. All of that make the wine to be different. Because every wine have a purpose. So that's why I change constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love what you mentioned of the concept of not selling wine to someone that they've already drank before. I think that's really interesting. And along that vein, have you ever had someone come to you who says, I don't like wine and I believe it's because I haven't found the right one? And then you did help them find the right one? I'm curious to hear about that.
Yeah. And generally, I have. It's interesting because where I'm located, my clientele is very, very large, and it's not. It's often I have like 1 or 2 times a week young consumer on their early 20s won't discover wine, just start to drink. They are like 22, 23, 24. They are curious, so they don't want drink to be drunk, but they want real understand wine, be educated, discover what they like and dislike. So we go into this path with them. I have people came from country where it's no wine and are discovering wine. So it's happened all the time. Or I have a lot of people say, American wine, no. I hate American wine. I just love French and Italian wine. And I'm like, you're the wrong place, but you're stuck. I close the door. And if you will know the number of European consumer came here and start to drink American wine like crazy after they start coming here, it's fascinating. And like French people, like very snob and normally drink only French wine. And when they're starting to discover what we have here and how incredible it is, they're starting to real change their mind and understand. Discover and drink what is from the country. Eat what is from the country. Learn to embrace. You know, we arrive in Thanksgiving. Perfect example to not put the traditional food on the table, but to honor the First Nation, the first generation of human have lived on this continent, and take the challenge to cook sakitash and Indian bread, and doing a lot of chestnut flour. And doing chestnut bread, you have a million things to embrace what come from our land and share this culture. And I think it's very, very important. It's not to eat a bœuf bourguignon will help you to discover what is American food. So that's the same with the wine.
Definitely. And as of right now, what would you say are your top three favorite wines to drink yourself?
That's a very bad question. I believe the wine have 7 cents and not 5 cents. So you have the 5 cents are your cents, but we have 2 cents. We never talk about it. It's the sense of ourself. What is your question? But it's the sense of other. So drinking wine, it's not just something you're doing for yourself. It's something you share with others. And to take on consideration others when you choose a wine, it's the great way to start a great ventures. So if you said to me, we have dinner together tonight, I will cook that, and that's what I love for wine and I drink normally, I will do everything to understand your flavors, your scents, and bring something we can share. You will open new sense and enjoy it, and will be a great moment because it's sharing something. So the wine for me, it's a moment. So to say what is my three favorite wine today, it's not. It's if they are on my shelf, that's because they are fabulous. I drink American as I drink other country. I'm always curious to discover new producer, new country, new things, and we have a majority of American wine, but I have two Mexican wine and two incredible Mexican wine. I have two Canadian wine, and I try to push people to be curious what we have on our continent. And so I never close my eyes on something new. And try to understand, because that's a part of my education, and understand more American wine when I drink other. I will talk about one wine today because I think it's very, very important. This month, let me grab some bottles. I'm coming. So, You know, this month, it's the Indigenous American Honor Month. So things we don't know in the United States, you have Indigenous people own winery and make wine. And what is more extraordinary, this winemaker, it's a female winemaker. She now partnering with her wife on a new project. She starts in 2010 with the support of her tribe. It's the Chumash tribes to cover from Santa Rita to close the border of Mexico on the West Coast. In this case, that's the sub-tribe is in Santa Ynez Valley in Santa Barbara, and they have this chance to buy a vineyard for the tribe named Camp 4. And she produced this incredible wine. So it's a 100% Cabernet Sauvignon in Santa Ynez, 2017. It's just a dream. Everybody touched this wine are like, wow, wow, for the price, this is a gift. So it's for me a good way where we arrive to the fall. We want more warm. People say what I want to eat with that. It's the time for the stew. It's the time for the roast. That is fabulous with. And it's told the forest. It's a wine smell like wet wood, santal wood, cedar wood, humidor, cigar box, cocoa. It's red berries. It's a lot of wild red berries on the back. It's absolutely fabulous. So it's the time we honor our First Nation here. Kita is probably my wine of the month. If that's answer your question,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And as of the time of this recording for our listeners, it's the first week in November. And so I'd love if you could share what you have happening at Bond, either without the next 3 months or even into 2024, any exciting things that you have planned or things that you have going on.
We continue the Wednesday class, always at 7 o'clock. It's easy to find them on our website at bondwines.com. I will start early in January a new class of 5 weeks is 2 hours, one time a week. And I try to put the consumer to not be sommelier, because sommelier is a profession, and to be a consumer, it's not a profession. It needs to be a pleasure. So my class is completely focused on how to put you a more smart and advised consumer. And so we're going to what is a red, a white, a rosé, it's what the basic, what is aromatic, what is the sense, what is the 5 wine I need to have at home, or I name the first 5, so the wine saves you no matter what's happening, and how to buy wine in a wine shop and read label, how to read this very strange paper and then a wine list with no explanation, just word and price, and everybody thinking you're an expert and you know what you buy. So how to read that, how to say to a server or sommelier in a restaurant, that's what I like, that's what I want, with very clear term. And so we're going to all this fun and put you a better smart consumer. So that will starting in January. In January, it's 5 weeks. Everybody have fun. We have fun. We drink wine and we eat food and discussion. 2024 for us will be the starting of a few different events. So last year I did a lot of block party outside to bring the shop in the communities. So it's also it's a wine garden block party. Last year we did four with DJ and band. This year I want to do that around yoga and wine. I want to do bingo wine. I want to do a trivia wine night. Just bring the communities on the street and have fun with subject like that. So that's been working on it, like slowly and carefully. Yeah.
Love it. Bertil, as we get towards the end of this episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And so now I'd love if you could share what your favorite local businesses are to go to or support or shop at anywhere in Massachusetts.
So I will answer your question two ways. The first way is it's my website. It's very particular, maybe not completely friendly for people just shop for wine, because I write very deep newsletter on products, on subject every month, every weeks, with new things and all of that. But inside the website, you find a page named Fellowship. And these fellowships are the list of artisan restaurants, bakers, farmers are working with an eco-responsible and with a soul. So for sure, all these artisans are where you need to shop, because this is not your mass production. Will help individual to be better, but to real pick and choose small artisan. But on another side, my enlarged question, my enlarged answer, it's Harvard Square. If you want real shop local, go on small shop, not the big name, but the small shop, the small restaurant, the single owner business. We have a fabulous environment here at the square, where it's way more to what people thinking they can have, and you have a lot of fabulous small artisans here doing great things. As you know, with all the respect I have for Massachusetts, it's in Cambridge today. The real small one are. Where we can find real small artisan, small mm-hmm. shop. You see it with, you know, the best of Boston and all of that. Cambridge is heavily listed for this reason. We are lucky with that. And if you're going out of Massachusetts and we just focus on restaurant, I think choose restaurant or just a little bit of tables, because if you have just a small quantity of tables, that means the chef can craft in a kitchen. If that's mass production, it's no more craft, it's manufacturers, and so it's no soul on the plate. You want to be sure your chef is behind the cooktop, as your baker is behind his oven, you know, and doing the right work. And that's them for me. So my favorite shop in Massachusetts is named Bond Fine Wine. It's a fabulous small shop.
I love it.
You're welcome.
Bertil, this has been such a great episode, and I've really appreciated having the opportunity to have you come on and talk more about you and all that you do at Bond Fine Wine Shop. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
With pleasure, Ashley. But thank you first to invite me to your podcast. I hope my accent is not too deep, and people will not have too hard time to understand what I try to communicate. So we are located at 54 Church Street in Harvard Square, a fun street, just on the side of the St. Clair, if people know where is the St. Clair. And on the other side is the Swiss watch shop, one of the oldest watch shop in Massachusetts. And our website is Bond Wine, BondWines.com. And have fun We deliver everywhere in Massachusetts, so you can order online or you can come here. And I will take the time, we'll take the time to welcome you like you're on your own house here. Each people are super important and can friends.
Fabulous. And I will link to those places, your website and your social media in the show notes. That way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But Bertil, thank you so much again for coming on today's show.
Thank you, Ashley. Have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.